All right, is the camera? All right, welcome everybody this morning. Sorry for the difficulties, technical difficulties. As you can see, the church is a little bit different this morning. Appreciate all those that came up yesterday and worked, but we're having some problems getting our audio hooked back up. We got a temporary setup just to get us through the service this morning, and then we're going to have our floors redone here at the church. They're going to be sanded down and redone, so we had to unhook everything, and we tried to hook it back up just for this morning, and obviously we ran out of time to get it set back up and get it where we needed. So hopefully you can hear me at home that are watching. We do have a few folks that are here this morning, and we appreciate them being here for Sunday school today. And Lord willing, Wednesday night we'll be back to church in full force. We just ask that everybody try to be respectful of whatever guidelines they're asking us to follow as far as the 6 foot between families, and don't shake somebody's hand unless you know they wanted their hand shook. David McAfee, amen. And no hugging, no doing those things unless somebody wants it. Amen. So you need to ask permission first, but just try to follow those guidelines. We want to try to be respectful of it. We're appreciative that we get to come back and have church. Wednesday night, we're actually going to have church outside. We're not doing it because of the COVID stuff. We're doing it because we're doing some work in here, and the fellowship hall is full of pews. So when you come to church Wednesday night, please don't park right in front of the church. Try to park off to either side, and we're going to have the white chairs set up outside for church. If you've got a lawn chair you want to bring, it's fine as long as it doesn't lay all the way back and relax and have a foot stand. We don't want that during service, so. We'll announce those things again during the morning service, but we're going to get started with Sunday school this morning, so appreciate your patience. I've seen businesses that are doing similar things we're doing, and they say, pardon our progress. Amen. Not a mess, but our progress. So we always want to take care of the Lord's house. Amen. I think it ought to be just as nice or nicer than our own houses, the place where we get to come and meet together. So we're excited about being able to get our floors redone and resurfaced, and man, it'll look real nice. So we're looking forward to it. All right, take your Bibles with me and turn to Romans chapter number 6, the book of Romans chapter number 6. And we're going to pick back up this morning on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the study this morning. And we'll probably go about 20 to 30 minutes this morning. Sorry for the late start, and apologize for that. Next Sunday, Sunday school is going to start at 9:45. Next Sunday, that's our regular Sunday school time, and we're going to start at 9:45. Men's prayer at 9:30. And so, Lord willing, we can get back to our regular routine there, and we might be having Sunday school in here with tables set up, depending on how far we've made it with the floor. But next week at 9:30 men's prayer, 9:45 Sunday school, we'll try to get back to our a little bit more regular routine. All right, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about salvation doctrines, basic Bible beliefs. These are things that every child of God should know. These are things that they should, as soon as they get saved, they should begin to learn these things and understand what God did for them the very moment that He saved them. These things happened when you got saved, whether you know them or not. And whether you understand all these salvation doctrines, this is what took place the very moment that you got saved. And as you begin to understand what happened and what God did and the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you when you got saved, it'll help you to grow as a Christian. It'll also help you in your Bible. It'll help you understand that you cannot lose your salvation, and it'll help you begin to rightly divide the Scriptures. You'll mess up greatly if you don't learn how to rightly divide and understand who God is talking to, who He's dealing with, and what time period that they're dealing with those things. So, all right, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 3. We're going to read two verses. These verses are read many times during a water baptism, even in Baptist churches. And it's fine if they want to do that. Because what we're about to read here and what they talk about when they do a water baptism is the water baptism is a picture of what took place on the inside. And so these verses here is talking about the spiritual baptism. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God baptizing you into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when they read these verses as they do the baptism, I know in most independent Baptist churches or Baptist churches, when they do that, they're signifying, at least I hope they understand, they're signifying what I'm doing physically is giving you a picture of what spiritually took place on the inside. Because that's what these verses are talking about. It's not talking about a water baptism. And so, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." And so water baptism is a picture of what happens spiritually on the inside. There are folks, we've got folks in our church that have been saved for several months now that need to be baptized. They have not been water baptized yet. You say, does that mean they're not saved yet? No, doesn't mean that. They're just as saved as the day they got saved, amen? And just as saved as you and I, if you're saved. That is a picture and it's a testimony. And I believe it's a public testimony. It's something you ought to do. You shouldn't be ashamed of what happened. And it's a public testimony to your family. It's a picture on the outside of what happened on the inside. But these passages here is not referring to water baptism as many try to make it look that way. All right? Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We've read some of these verses. We're going to read them again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The book of Colossians chapter number 2. These verses are misapplied too often when it comes to salvation. They try to make it about water. We dealt with that a little bit last week. Colossians chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verse number 12. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead." All right, what's that faith of the operation of God? We already went over that doctrine. What is that? Anybody in here? Anybody at home want to help me? Spiritual circumcision. There we go. And so we've already covered that. Again, another work of the Holy Spirit. But buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Now, there's those that say that you can accept Christ as your Savior, but the work is not finished until after you've been water baptized. And they'll use verses like this, but they don't understand the salvation doctrine of the Holy Spirit is what baptizes you into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not the preacher and it's not the city water system. The city water system is not going to put you in touch with the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God will do that with that spiritual circumcision, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Another reference to this baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27 through 28. All right, look back up in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Again, we see the baptized into Christ. It's not a reference to water baptism. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, He baptized us into Christ. And I hope you can see the difference there as we're going through here of what the Holy Spirit did for us there. None of these verses are a reference to water baptism. Water baptism cannot put any person into Jesus Christ. That's not the way God set it up, amen? We're put into Jesus Christ. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. At the moment of salvation, He baptizes you into the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you come out a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away; behold, all things are become new. Your old man dies that day when you accept Christ as your Savior. God reckons him to be dead. The old man, we ought to reckon him to be dead. And we're saved, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. You come up a different man. And those that preach in easy believism, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, or hey, who wants to go to heaven? People raise their hands and say, I want to go. Say, all right, you're saved. Come sign a card. That's dangerous. I believe that's dangerous. Now, you know, I've heard people say that I believe I got saved when I stepped out of that pew. And it might have been. If the preacher preached and you said, hey, I know I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I want to be saved. And Lord, man, would you save me and you step out to go forward? I mean, it might have happened that way. God might have saved you when you stepped out. Amen. That's between you and the Lord. But this, hey, I want to go to heaven, but, I'm not a new man at all. Amen. That's scary. I hope you're willing to die with what you have. Amen. You say, are you saying that you have to quit doing things? Hey, when you get saved, the Bible says that you're to walk in the newness of life. You're a new creature in Him. There ought to be some things in your life that change. You say, well, if they don't, does that mean I'm not saved? That's between you and God. Amen. But if, as a preacher, as a church, if we see somebody that gets saved and they keep doing the same old things they were doing as a lost man and nothing ever changes, there's no fruit at all, it's hard for us, it's hard for me to say, yeah, I believe he got saved. Now, he might have got saved. That's between him and God. We might get to heaven and say, well, man, good night, old Joe was saved. He said, who's old Joe? I don't know. Amen. But you might get up to heaven and say, man, he was saved. Man, we didn't think he actually got it. Well, that's between him and the Lord. But I tell you what, I want to have a testimony. I don't want to have to wear a shirt that says I'm saved or I'm a Christian. I want to have a testimony among coworkers and among family and among friends and among acquaintances. I want to have a testimony where they say, you know what, he wasn't perfect. Everybody that knows me knows that. But he wasn't perfect, but I believe he was saved. Amen. Have a testimony of being saved, of some things that changed. Buried with him in baptism. And that water baptism is not going to save. The physical act of water baptism is just a picture, a figure of what took place on the inside. At salvation, when you get saved, you have a new relationship with God. We talk about walking in the newness of life, buried with Him in baptism, in rising and walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4 tells us about being a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. At salvation, you get a new relationship with God. Before you got saved, John 3:36 applied to you. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. But after you get saved, now you have a new relationship with God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you begin to understand what happened and understand you can't lose that salvation, understand that now, after salvation, you have a relationship with Christ. When you sin and mess up, you realize that it is a father-child relationship. He's our heavenly Father. And whenever you mess up and whenever you sin, there might be distance between an earthly father and an earthly son. I mean, we've seen that over the years. We've seen and we've heard stories and testimony of those that have messed up and there's separation between a father and a son. But nothing will ever change. I mean, he could change his name. He could change where he lives. He can disappear. And nobody ever hear from him ever again. But it will never change who his biological father is. You can't change that. So after salvation, you understand what happened. You realize that you're saved. And you're a child of God, but you can get away from Him. We have illustrations in the Bible and even in our time of people that have gotten away from God and they weren't living right, they weren't doing right, and they had to come back and they reap what they sowed. And and we understand how all that works. We preached about that last week, but you know, come back to God and get right with Him. But it doesn't mean they have to get saved over again. Now, sometimes we'll see people and they'll do things, and we'll say, "Man, I do not know how in the world they say that they're saved," because you just can't comprehend it. I've had people say, "Brother Andrew, how can a saved man do that?" And there might be things we won't understand until we get to heaven. I tell you what, when I preached in those prisons, and some of y'all preached in prison, Brother Hyde spent years preaching in the prison. And there's been people that have criticized going into death row and preaching. Do you not know what they did? Yeah, do you not know what Jesus Christ did on the cross to save them? And I don't want to know what they did, Brother Hyde. Amen. I don't want to know. Amen. I you know, if they came up and told me certain things, I might walk out of there. You say, "Well, you're not a very good person." Well, I don't know. Amen. If I found out some of them messed with a child or something, I don't know if I want to stay in there. I don't want to know what they did. But I'm going to preach Jesus to them, and Jesus died for them on the cross. And there's some people in there that said that they were saved. And there's some people in there that get saved in prison, all those kind of things. And there's people say, "Well, I just don't know how God could save somebody like that." Well, I'm glad that you're not Christ, because if you were, I probably couldn't get saved, and neither could a lot of other people. Amen. And they better watch out, because their self-righteous robe might be giving them a false sense of salvation. Your spirit was joined to Christ when you got saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Well, how did that happen, Brother Andrew? It happened at the Holy Spirit baptism, when He baptized you into the Lord Jesus Christ. And you became one. Amen. If you're saved, He's living inside of you right now. That new man's been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what brings conviction to your preaching. It brings conviction when you do wrong. And He's there. And the Bible says you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. Amen. Salvation gives you a new relationship with Him. The new man on the inside, the one that's sealed by the Holy Spirit, becomes married to Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The new man on the inside becomes married to Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 30. All right, Ephesians 5:30. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the what? And the church. Look at verse number 30 back out there. For we are members of His body, and of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And then He tells us that He's talking about Christ and the church. So the new man on the inside, that new man that's been sealed by the Holy Spirit, is married to Christ, is joined to Christ when you get saved. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I know we're turning to a lot of verses, but we're doing a Bible study. Romans chapter 4. No, sorry, Romans chapter 7. All right, Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be, what? Married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. When you get saved, that new man inside you becomes married to Christ. You say, what about the old man? What happens to the old man? The old man's engaged to be married to Christ. It has to wait on your new body, amen? That new sinless body. That old man becomes engaged to Christ to be physically joined with Him, married with Him later on. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I hope you understand this. That's your old man, your old nature is not, it's not been saved yet. I mean, that's why you have to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to spend time in prayer. You need to be faithful to church. You need to surround yourself with spiritual-minded friends and people that will help encourage you. And iron sharpeneth iron in a good way. Iron can sharpen iron in a bad way, too. But iron sharpeneth iron in a good way, in a way that will help you in your walk with God. And you do those things because that old man is considered dead to God, but we're still having to deal with this thing, and it's not been saved yet. It's not been it's not in a position to be joined with Christ. Amen. And so that's why you have to be faithful to the things of God and faithful to try to watch out for that old man, because it'll mess up on you in a hurry. It'll do things it ought not to do in a hurry. All right, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse number 2, I didn't turn over there, I was talking. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2. Look what the Bible says here. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul talks about espousing them to one husband, being the Lord Jesus Christ. We are engaged, our bodies engaged to be joined with Him. Our bodies have to be changed before that can take place. We're not going to go there for sake of time, but Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21. Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21 is a verse you can write down. This is going to happen at the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to get a brand new body. And we're going to get a sinless body. And we're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. The reason why Paul said there, to be able to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. After salvation, man, you ought to hit the ground running, especially if you just recently got saved, and you ought to try to serve the Lord and not serve flesh and serve yourself. And when you get to heaven, you'll be able to stand before Him in your new body whenever you're joined with Him and be able to say, Lord, I did the best I could for you, and I tried to keep myself for you. You realize that as a child of God, after salvation, we're not talking about before salvation. Amen. B.C., before Christ. We're talking about after salvation. When you live however you want to live and you do whatever you want to do and act like whatever you want to act like that doesn't please the Lord just for some gratification down here in the flesh, when you stand before God, it's going to be a very humbling and a very sorrowful experience. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you say, we're going to be judged for those sins. He judges for the sins on the cross of Calvary, but if you're still involved with things that in sin and you're not getting those right with God, your relationship with Him is not going to be great. We're talking about a relationship. Salvation gives you a new relationship. And there's going to be a lot of tears shed, I believe, when we get to heaven. There's going to be a lot of sadness over how we behave after salvation. But that old man has got to be changed. It has to be changed before it can be joined with Christ, our flesh. We'll get a brand new body. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This will be the last verse we'll turn. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you want to study about the physical marriage, the marriage of the Lamb, you can go read that in Revelation chapter 19. We're not going to get into that. But it's a doctrine called the marriage of the Lamb. And that will not take place until we get our new bodies. All right, the Holy Spirit baptism makes a person a part of Christ. We already read that in Ephesians chapter 5, 30-32. When the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ, you become a part of Jesus Christ. Once you are put into His body, there is no getting out. You cannot get out. Look at this here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. All right, so we're talking about an inheritance here, right? We're talking about an inheritance. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Okay? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. These verses are used oftentimes to show somebody that they can lose their salvation. But verse number 12 is dealing with a reward. It's dealing with an inheritance. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. I mean, we can see all the crowns, the martyr crowns and the pastor's crowns and the different things in the Bible, the rewards, the inheritances, and we can get into some of those later on. If we deny Him in our works, if we deny Him in how we live our life, in servitude to Him, then He'll deny us. You won't get the inheritance. You won't get the rewards. That doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. That's not what that's talking about. But verse 13 says, if we believe not, this is how we know this is talking to a saved man here. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Has anybody ever met someone that was saved maybe as a young person, later on in life some things happened in their life and they ended up getting bitter against God and angry at God and they walked away never to return and they might even claim today that they don't even believe there is a God? Have you ever met somebody like that? I have. I've met several people like that. I hate to bust their bubble, but if they did what the Bible said to be saved, no matter what they think, they're saved. Amen. And they're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ also. They're going to stand there as well. Verse 13 tells us if you decide you don't want to believe anymore, the faith of Jesus Christ is what keeps you saved. He cannot deny Himself. And you are a part of Him. You're baptized into Christ Jesus. You become a part of Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30-32 tells us that. And so now that you're a part of Him, He cannot deny Himself. This is eternal security. Amen. And I'm thankful for it. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for it. You're standing with God. You're standing with God is sinless perfection. When God sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Not as I am. I'm unworthy. He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the new man. Our standing with God is sinless perfection. You can read about that in 1 John chapter 3 and 1 John chapter 4. But your state with God, that's your relationship with Him, that's up to you. Your relationship with God, your state with Him right now, your current state, and your old man, that's up to you. You're as close to God as you want to be. And let me tell you this, church. He wants to be close to you. Brother Vaughn, I don't know why He would desire to have a relationship with me. But He does. Amen. And you know what? He rewards us and He blesses us for having one with Him. Amen. You hear the term about having acquaintances and friends just because of what you can get out of them or because it's beneficial to have a friend or something. Maybe they're always fixing something for you or always doing something for you. Who knows? Maybe they're always smoking or barbecuing or whatever. But you have those relationships. But I tell you what, man, isn't it good that God has a relationship with us and He blesses us for doing that? Amen. And what do we do for Him? It ought to make us think about it. I'm looking forward to being home with Him. The Bible tells Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where we are spiritually. Amen. I'm looking forward to that new body and going to spend time with Him. All right, Lord willing, next week, justification and imputation is the next doctrine we're going to look at, salvation doctrine, justification and imputation. And so, Lord willing, we'll have everybody here next Sunday. If you do not feel comfortable coming, I guess it's all right. Just let us know. We'll try to send you the notes for it. If a year from now you're still not comfortable coming, we're going to pray for you even more. Amen. And so we'll be praying. We want people to use wisdom. Amen. Use wisdom. But all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a good God and a good Savior to us, Lord. And Father, I thank you for these great salvation doctrines. I thank you for saving me. And Father, I pray, God, you'd help us to draw closer to you. Father and Lord, as we look for your appearing, God, I pray that you find us to be faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.